Hello and welcome to the Ask Dr. Ben podcast. I'm your host, Ben Johnson. As a holistic-minded physician, I've spent the last 20 years looking outside the box and conducting research to find the true causes of skin conditions and other diseases. And while the focus of my work has been on aesthetic medicine and unlocking the secrets to reversing skin damage, this podcast will also include many other exciting revelations pertaining to you and your family's health and well-being. So let's get started. All right. Well, good times yet again. Thanks everyone for joining me. Today we are going to talk all things acne, and I'm going to include the whole body because you guys get presented with cases quite often that involve bumps and rashes. And at the end of the day, I would classify acne as a folliculitis, an inflammation of the follicle. And that could also involve rashes. What you're going to notice about rashes is they also, the little bumps that show up are at the follicle area. And that is because a rash is also a toxin purge. So what I'm presenting to you today is what I believe we have proven over all these many years with our high success rate, which is that acne is a toxin purge. And what that essentially means is that it's not an infection at the surface of the skin. Yes, you know, our skin does have a host of different bacteria that grow on it. The skin has its own microbiome. That is true. But that microbiome is actually your protection against infections on the skin. Bugs do not have an easy time coming and living on the skin, as we should well know, because we go around shaking hands with people, touching bathroom doorknobs, and every other place. I don't want to get you paranoid about all the bugs you're being exposed to, but you have to admit it's pretty remarkable how well your body does at preventing itself from developing infections. And so what you really see when you're looking at acne is that the body is trying to eliminate something, and it has chosen a region of the face or region of the neck or region of the chest or a region of anywhere else in the body. Buttocks acne is quite common. And so we're going to get into all those different areas, why they develop cysts versus just little bumps, why some people get what look like milia, but in fact it is acne, and then we'll distinguish milia from acne so that you have a really good chance of knowing when you need to go inside the body, which is almost in almost every case of acne. But let's also add in here rashes, so little red bumps. Again, you say, well, wait, I get a rash, you know, let's say you have an autoimmune disease and you get rashes, or a lot of people see the bumps on their chest and they never quite fully get to whiteheads, so they will call it a rash. Well, that is still toxins being purged out of the follicles of the skin. It's just a whitehead is a very specific reaction to a series of events in the skin where the skin is trying to dismantle a toxin. And when you get acne that lasts a long time and it's like really painful cyst, it's a big cyst and it just never tends to go down, more often than not, there are two things going on there. One is the toxin itself. Like the ones that leave a lasting scar or a wound that takes forever to heal, that just means the toxin that is coming out of that area is particularly harsh and particularly hard on the skin to process. And so more of a wound develops, more many more immune cells become involved. And that's why it takes longer. The other option there is that you are continually eating the same toxin in your diet, and that acne persists in that area because that toxins tend to go to the same place. And that's what's so funny about all this. Everywhere your body has a rash or acne, it is purposeful. It's specific to an organ or region of the body that's involved. And I don't have all of the areas mapped on the body, but I can just tell you everything is very, very specific. And as a good example of that, and we're going to go through all the different toxins, but pea protein always strikes me because I do see a very similar place about an inch and a half to 2 inches from the center of your chin on either side, along the jawline and an inch above it. If you can picture that in your mind, that is where pea protein typically dumps. And because people keep ingesting the pea protein because they think it's good for them, this, you know, they, everyone has this, you know, and they belief system that, you know, we need a lot of extra protein in our diet, or at least the guys that work out, or guys and gals that work out. And so they end up eating this pea protein daily. And of course, daily toxins produce, and they oftentimes produce in the same area. And so you can get cystic acne, you can get persistent acne. Again, not an infection, just a processing of toxins. All over the body, this is going on. So we'll get into the details of that. But before I go into each specific zone and understanding why the toxin presents certain times of the cycle and things like that, let's go back and start on why did I even reinvent the concept of acne? And not the folliculitis part, but the idea that acne is not an infection. Well, that all started years ago when I was trying to treat acne better. And I was thinking about it as an infection. And I'm like, wow, like this infection looks like it's quite there on the surface. And according to the textbooks, the process started with a sebum plug. So oil became blocked. The textbooks generally try to say due to a backup of extra keratin, like the something backs up the oil gland, the sebaceous gland, and it causes a buildup of that oil that becomes a food source for the local bacteria, in particular the bag known as P. acnes bacteria, and that leads to this infectious process and so forth and so on. There's a lot of problems with that. And so I first started to look for other reasons for acne when I saw that a study tested and showed that there is no time in the history of analyzing the sebaceous gland is there evidence that there's actually a sebum plug that occurs. So the whole idea, a lot of people think, oh, if I just exfoliate a lot, you know, and that's why people use sal acid and glycolic acid and various acids, azelaic acid. They use those partly because they think this will kill the bacteria. And in fact, it does actually kill a lot of microbiome bacteria when you do that. But notice that the infections keep coming back. And that leads us to the next question of, if acne is an oil plug, why does it show up in certain areas over other areas? Like it just, there doesn't make any sense in the old acne model, the infectious model, that acne would show up. Let's just say acne on the cheeks is probably the most common zone of acne, maybe followed by the forehead. Like why are we getting oil plugs in our cheeks all of a sudden? Where does that come from? And why does changing our diet seem to help a lot of people? Not everybody, but a lot of people. And if there's no sebum plug, then what's actually going on there? Is it just simply more oil? Well, we all know this isn't true because that was the other thing that I kept observing, which was the skin in a lot of people with acne is actually dry. There is no excess oil, so there's no explanation for it. And throw on top of that the fact that a lot of acne occurs in areas where there's almost never excess oil production. So think about it. On your jawline, that is not a highly sebaceous area as opposed to your T-zone, right? Your T-zone is known for being oily. In fact, when they did a study and they gave people testosterone, and here's another reason why I left the acne as an infection. And I'll put on top of that, by the way, that there were studies done on the infectious process of acne. And what they found was they really saw primarily inflammation. They didn't see a huge overgrowth in bacteria, which is what you would expect if it's an infection, they saw a lot of inflammatory cells. Huh. Well, that certainly fits my model of acne as a detox reaction, a purge of toxins coming from inside the body. And so they did a study where they gave patients testosterone, increased their oil production on their skin. But does it increase oil production everywhere on your skin? No, it actually only increases oil production in the sebaceous areas of your face. And so what happened as a result of that study? No increased acne was noted in the sebaceous areas. However, there was, in several of the patients, increased acne on the jawline, where there is no increased oil. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's like, wait, if it's not about oil and it's not about a sebum plug, then what is it that causes these spontaneous infections? Is it because I'm touching my face? Well, that generally, I would say, is not true, because when we touch our face, generally we're touching the sides of our face. And I can tell you, you know, most acne sufferers, when they get desperate enough, they are cleansing, constantly cleansing their face, wiping it with alcohol wipes if they're oily or they're... And by the way, when you constantly use alcohol wipes on your skin, you dry it out, you remove the lipid barrier, and your skin actually does make more sebum as a result. So it's never a good idea if you have acne to try to constantly degrease your skin. Not only does it not help acne, but it actually just makes your skin more sensitive, more likely to have a reaction to the topicals you're using. And for those reasons, you know, you're just not going to find that those strategies work for you. And on the same note, if you're using acids every day on your face, you're also damaging your barrier. You're also weakening your microbiome. Remember, your microbiome is what keeps you from having infections. So as you burn away your microbiome with acids, you increase the likelihood of actually getting a local infection. So there are those instances where people constantly popping zits, in the colloquial term, or constantly, you know, expressing their blackheads and playing with their face and touching their face with dirty hands, no less, they end up causing a super infection or an infection on top of the acne that sometimes does occur. So what I'll see sometimes is a client or patient of mine will go in to the dermatologist, and they will, the dermatologist will biopsy this persistent zit or these areas, and it'll grow, you know, malassezia or some, you know, fungal acne. And oh, you don't have just normal acne, you have fungal acne. And that is actually just explained by the fact that when you culture the skin, you could grow any number of bugs because you're touching your face and your hands are dirty. And so it is very possible that those bugs could grow off of a culture, but that doesn't mean that that's the bug deep down in the follicle that is overgrowing. And again, the skin, remarkably good at keeping infections away, and there's really very little evidence of a bacterial infection when you actually analyze cysts themselves. Okay, so then you could say, well, yeah, but I like benzoyl peroxide as a choice. Well, now we know that is cancerous and will probably be pulled from the market, but certainly not something you want to use. And I'll tell you why you don't want to use it as well. Every acne lesion you have is a wound in process. So the idea of continually daily, twice daily, and for most cases, some people are doing it three times a day, they're putting excess acid on their face and burning an area that is already fragile. Or they're putting excess benzoyl peroxide on their face, which, by the way, is a free radical cascade in action, right? Benzoyl peroxide, as soon as it touches your skin, is causing wounds left and right. And if you have a cyst that's delicate, and maybe it's a cyst that's recurring, and so it's extra delicate, You do not want to be harming that wound. You want to be nurturing that wound. You really just want to be assisting the skin and accelerating the process of detoxing whatever toxin is coming out of it. And then you want to go into the body and figure out where did that come from and how can I avoid getting those in the future? And that's what we're going to go into in depth here in a minute. So I really highly recommend that you consider never putting excessive acid. And by excessive acid, I mean over 5% of lactic acid, over 5% sal acid. I mean, part of it depends on the pH. So there's no hard, fast rules on this. But generally speaking, like when I want to accelerate a wound / acne purge, I give the skin wound healing ingredients, detox ingredients that allow it to do so. And we can get into that a little bit more in a second as well. All right. So now let's start with acne on the body just to get this out of the way. It's not a huge, I wish I had all the answers to every bump that ever shows up, but here's what I would tell you is a good rule of thumb. First, let's go with buttocks acne. I have found, and again, this is just after looking at hundreds, if not thousands of cases of butt acne and getting histories, what I've learned is that butt acne is primarily when you eat a harmful bacteria in your food that makes it through the stomach acid without dying. And you're like, well, does that happen? How does that happen? You know, how can things survive the pH of 2.0? And, you know, how does it do that? Well, it's called dilution, guys. Unfortunately, everyone has been trained to drink during their meal. And the more you drink during your meal, the more diluted the stomach acid is and the less likely that stomach acid is to kill all the bad bugs that might be in there. Remember, food poisoning is usually done by bad bacteria or bad fungi that survive the stomach acid. That's how you get food poisoning. So having a good acid mantle or an acid pit, I should say, is critical in this process. But if you eat like pepperoni or that type of meat or sushi, I would just say pepperoni and sushi are probably the most common causes of butt acne. But it could be, you know, less cooked meat. You know, a lot of people like their steaks rare. I'm a medium well guy, but you get your steaks rare, much higher chance that you could get butt acne from your steaks. And so how do you treat this? Well, generally your body's going to kill that bacteria. And so butt acne tends to last if you don't keep re-eating. Like I had a case not too long ago of a Navy shipman who, like, salami, pepperoni, that was like a mainstay of her diet. And she continually had lots of butt acne as a result of that. So in that case, we have a product called Immune Defense that kills the bacteria. It's two doses. You take them 12 hours apart. Each dose is by weight. So it's usually a couple bottles per dose. And that will kill the bacteria that are there. And it'll take that butt acne away within usually 24 hours. But got to watch how much sushi you're going after. How much of that less cooked meat are you going to go after for that potential and getting re-exposed? So that's the trick and the challenge of butt acne. But again, it's a bacteria at the end of the colon that takes up residence and releases toxins that purge out of that local region. That's the kind of the only thing that does that. Although you can get a rash around the perineum, around the buttocks, around the genitalia that is related to parasites. And does that sometimes, it really never does present like acne. It's not really have a place here, but I just wanted you to know that if you're eating foods with parasites, which so many foods have parasites, of course, and your microbiome is not in good shape, those parasites will take up residence and develop either a rash or they cause hemorrhoids or rectal itching. Those are the three main things that parasites tend to cause. All right, so where else do we get acne on the body? Sometimes people might notice acne on their, not very often that I see it on the legs, but you do, the people do develop what look like Amelia on the legs. So I guess I should probably address that under this category. If you have like bumps on your inner thighs, I generally find that that is linked to toxins that are in your feminine care products. Toxins and feminine care products. So switch those up if you're seeing them. We have a product called Skin Defense. I recommend then to help bind and remove the toxins from the system. And we do a pretty good job of clearing that. I don't always find the source of the toxin in that method. So I can't say that I'm as satisfied with our outcomes on bumps on the inner thighs as I am with bumps anywhere else on the body, to be honest. Let's see. Okay, let's go to the arms. If you have bumps on your arms, then a lot of times it can look like just a swollen cyst. And sometimes it can have a white head appearance, but usually it's swollen cyst and bumps along the arms. That is from mold. That is from mold. Typically, there's a mold infection in your liver because arms are part of your liver zone. Hands, arms, everywhere where you get liver spots, guys. Hands, arms, shoulders, face, all zones where liver can show itself. Mold is particularly bad these days. I see a lot of cases of mold. There's been a lot of water damage and a lot of people are struggling. So if you have rashes or bumps on your arms, you will also have related rashes or acne on your lower back, and that's the bottom half of your back, or your torso. So right on the opposite side, not necessarily on the chest, but more on the abdomen, on the torso, and on the lower back. That is pretty much a slam dunk mold infection diagnostic tool. So it's really helpful for your clients if they come in. Now, when someone has that kind of mold exposure where a lot of their body is showing signs, you can also see some acne in the upper back. So while I'm going to tell you in a little bit about how acne in the upper back is almost always chlorine, if they have acne in the low back and the upper back, there's a reasonable chance that it's not chlorine and mold, but it's simply just mold. And the easy way to know for sure is always ask them the question, are you drinking tap water? Where are you getting chlorine exposure if possible? Like some people swim. And believe it or not, in my experience, chlorine, while it does stick to your skin, it does not absorb into your bloodstream from your skin. That has been my experience. I think it's because, you know, chlorine is a chloride and an oxygen. So it's like Clorox, if you want to imagine it in your brain. And so that oxygen sticks to your fat of your skin, but it doesn't get past it in my experience. And why do I say that? Because I see people all the time who shower in chlorine who do not develop chlorine acne. And we clear their chlorine acne when we get them to stop drinking it. And we don't do anything about the shower they're using with the tap water. So I do a lot of logical reasoning is one of my favorite tools, and I can't break from it, you know, for coming from a medical background. Obviously I have to follow the physiologic process through. Everything has to make sense for me. So I promise you, I analyze these things in every which way, especially if I find along the way I had a failure of a case or something. Okay. So on the mold acne, that pretty much covers it. Usually that's just immune defense is all you need. Typically it's 4 doses of immune defense. It's always got to be around 12 hours apart. You don't want to be much more than 13 hours or 11 hours apart. You've got a window there, but it's not as big as you think. And if you miss your time window, you have to start over on the process, and it'll come back. If you live in a house where you didn't clear the mold and you're still living there, obviously your skin's going to start to get a lot better and then it's going to start to regress again. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is that if your skin tells you you got mold you're getting exposed to, remedy that problem. It can be a very, very serious health problem for you. Okay. Anywhere else? Acne. Yes. Body. We're still going body. So let's go up to the chest and back. Chest and back is chlorine acne in roughly 99% of the cases. So it's pretty darn common. I told you the only other time it really happens. Actually, I just had a case the other day. Malassezia acne. Now I'm having a moment. I'm trying to remember the specific bug name. But what happened with this client was that she was exposed in her chest to a fungi. And so it was like one of the first times I agreed with the dermatologist who said that this was a fungal acne on her chest. Well, he called it a fungal folliculitis. But the good news was, in this case, didn't have to like stop whatever they were ingesting from a chlorine perspective. We just had to use immune defense to clear that acne up. But generally, again, 99% are going to be chlorine. And so here are the sources of chlorine. Tap water, by far, number one. Number two is people who drink filtered water, quote unquote. Now, if you buy filtered water from the store, it is tap water with a crappy filter. It doesn't filter chlorine. Filtered water is a no-go on your choices for drinking water. Drink spring water or drink water with a chlorine filter, and you will be a happy camper. If you drink water from your refrigerator, it doesn't have a chlorine filter in it 99.99% of the time. And so, once again, that is not a good option for you. Tap water is highly toxic, highly toxic. It's one of the shameful things that goes on in our world, that especially in America, where and especially in places like Texas and Florida, where they use about twice as much chlorine as anywhere else. The South, they seem to pick on people in the South, and I just find it highly offensive. But chlorine, one of the worst poisons known to man, put in significant concentrations in our water. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Reverse osmosis systems are really good at getting toxins out, but they almost always put minerals back in, and the minerals they put back in have a significant amount of chlorine in them. So I find a fair number of people develop chest and back acne when they have an RO system in their house, or they use RO as their drinking water. Now, you can remedy this by not putting the minerals back into the water. And that's fine, but honestly, that's not healthy water. You want waters with minerals in them. So you really, I get it. Like some places people live, RO is a must because the water that they are served up is so horrible. But I'm just telling you, that's the dilemma. And I know it's a real expensive system, so I feel bad for people that did it simply because they thought it was creating the best water, when really RO water is not the most healthy water because of what is taken out of it. Okay, that's another source of chlorine acne. And then the final source that's most common is people who are swimmers. And it's not because, again, they're floating in chlorine. I don't believe that is an effect. It's because of how readily people put chlorinated water in their mouth, even though they don't swallow it. Isn't it amazing? I'm so guilty of this until I realized it myself. Isn't it amazing how quickly we open our mouth in a swimming pool and spit the water out? It's like just part of the practice of swimming for so many people. Not in the ocean, no, but in a swimming pool, which is pretty gross when you think about it. You know, a bunch of people, well, especially depending on if it's a public swimming pool. But yeah, so stop doing that. If you're a swimmer, just make it a habit. Never put swimming pool water in your mouth and spit it out. Just try not to allow it to absorb in that way, and you won't get acne from swimming. Okay, that's chlorine acne. Again, it shows up on the chest and the back. It kind of depends on what chlorine you're being exposed to. And yes, once again, the type of chlorine does determine to some degree how it purges from your skin. And so you say, well, you know what? I've seen whiteheads in a lot of people. I've seen cysts in some people, and I've seen what looks more like a rash in other people. What's the difference? I would say the number one difference is immune system health. That'll determine how aggressively a detox happens. So sometimes people with suppressed immunity, they don't mount much of a response. Sometimes it's that they're so good at processing the toxin that they don't develop much of a response. So there's no real hard, fast rule for why someone will get cysts versus not when it comes to chlorine acne. But arguably the number one reason is the body will stack. So if you get a lot of chlorine exposure, your body will start stacking the detox of chlorine out of the same follicle, and that will create a cyst. So it's all relatively easy to explain. The product we use is Skin Defense. It has actually the best chlorine binder in the world, sodium thiosulfate, and it is a sulfur. So if you're drinking chlorinated water and you take Skin Defense, you have a good chance of burping up a sulfur burp, which is not fun. And a lot of times in the first days of Skin Defense, you have sulfur burps that will get better over time. But I always recommend double check everything you're drinking. Like, you're like, but Dr. Johnson, I have a spring water at home. I'm fine. But you forget that you're drinking the tap water they serve you at the restaurant. Don't do that either. You forget that you're drinking the horrible Dasani and smart water options that have chlorine in them that you might think don't, because you don't usually taste chlorine. It's a sneaky little toxin. So just keep that in mind. Sometimes there's a little phase in the Skin Defense detox that where you have sulfur burps, and it's certainly the least fun phase of all of them. All right, we're moving on up the body. We're going to the neck. Acne on the neck is always pesticide acne. Okay, just like 99% of the time it's chlorine is the acne on the chest, with a rare exception. On the neck, there is no exception. It is always pesticide exposure. And you're like, well, why does it come out on the neck? Well, the neck, for whatever reason, the neck fat is one of the places where pesticides are deposited. And I just don't know. I wish I knew all the answers, but I don't know exactly why pesticides go to the neck, chlorine goes to the chest and back. It does have something to do with the toxin itself, obviously, but, you know, someday maybe we'll get the wisdom from God himself. So it shows up a lot in farmers. Not everybody gets acne from pesticide exposure. Some people have the pesticides deposit in their neck fat and it causes swollen neck. And usually when I see people under the age of 40 with big neck folds, that tells me they've got swollen neck fat from pesticide exposure. Another condition that's commonly associated with pesticide in the neck is poikiloderma, which is the capillaries and the pigmentation you see on the neck. That is also because there are toxins in that area that are there and the body's basically trying to overcome that exposure. But acne is definitely pesticide. And so where do you go? Well, you look to, are they in a farming community? Is it in their water? Highly likely. So they need to filter that. It could be they're breathing it in because it's in the air. That's a little bit harder to manage, obviously. And then, of course, food. Most people get it from non-organic fruit and vegetables. That's the number one source of pesticide for neck acne. And if it's coming out of your, if you're a man and you've got a beard and it's coming out in your beard and it's on your neck, it's not pseudofolliculitis barbae. It is simply pesticide exposure, and we can treat it. Again, Skin Defense is the binder we use. It's a different molecule that binds the pesticide acne. One of them is called DIM or diindol methane. And so we process it. Now, if someone has a huge amount of pesticide exposure, almost always they are obese, because one of the side effects of tons of pesticide exposure is that it goes to fat beyond the neck. It goes to fat throughout the body, and it causes obesity. It's the reason why America is obese, because we have more pesticides than anyone else in the world by twice the number. It's absolutely outrageous. And so people can get this acne, or they can just get pesticide exposure throughout the body, including in the chest. It's what causes fibrocystic breast disease, is pesticides. remember, these pesticides are estrogenic, meaning they resemble estrogen. And so they are endocrine disruptors. They cause early menopause. They cause irregular menstrual cycles. They cause hirsutism or facial hair growth, because when you put estrogen chemicals in your body, you can become testosterone dominant. And so they can cause, and again, there's so many different pesticides, and each one has its own unique effect. And for some people's bodies, it'll have a certain effect, and in other people's bodies, a different effect. But yes, if we could go back and track everyone's exposure and what kind of chemicals were used in that region or on the food they were eating, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Like, that's where the FDA and the CDC should really be doing their work, is how Americans are being poisoned. But again, I'm not holding my breath for that. So neck acne, we're moving up. Now, just below the jawline, to the jawline, and just above the jawline is the preservative, food preservative acne zone. But I will distinguish one more thing. If you have acne within an inch of the front of your ear and behind your ear, and then down along that line that follows from an inch from in front of your ear and behind your ear down your neck, that line is also pesticide acne. So it extends a little bit up into the face, but really just really close to the ear only. And then you have your preservative acne on the jawline, like we were just describing. Now, where preservatives come from? They come from food preservatives, also estrogenic chemicals, so more endocrine disruptors. We are so full of endocrine disruptors in our Western food exposure. And they come from pre-prepared meals. So when you're ordering those prepared meals, services, the bad idea. It comes from frozen food. Usually they put these preservatives in it. I mentioned pea protein. It also comes from long shelf life foods. So sometimes it's going to be in something like Doritos and bad junk food. It's certainly going to have a lot of preservatives in it. I eat peanut butter pretzels from natural grocers, and those didn't used to cause me preservative acne, but sometime about 4 months ago, they changed the formula, and now if I eat those, I get cystic acne along my jawline. So you never know where it's coming from. The way to tell, because this one is a common one, by the way, fast food, right up there at the top of preserved foods. The way to tell is look 24 hours back from your zit. So if you get a cyst, think back and go, huh, where did I just get cystic acne in my food? And you try to figure it out from there. Pea protein is the worst when it comes to the proteins. Some people are getting preservative acne from their, oh, this is a new one, coffee pods. So you know those coffee in the little pods? Those have been shown in my cases. Again, all of this is coming from me analyzing thousands of cases over many years to see where the trends are. And one of them is that coffee pods can cause a jawline acne. The other thing to remember about these preservatives is they also cause obesity, and they are the most likely to cause cysts on the ovary. So PCOS is commonly associated with this type of jawline acne. And so now let's get to, when I have hormonal acne, I usually get cysts on my jawline towards the middle of my cycle or just after the middle of my cycle. What's that about? That's about testosterone. So remember how I told you testosterone caused acne toxins to purge out of the jawline? That's because testosterone triggers this. Well, actually, here's what I think it actually is. When you take testosterone as a drug, your body will try to compensate and increase its estrogen production. And it'll do this to try to create balance. And as a result of that, now your body is too high in estrogen, and it will want to get rid of estrogen mimicking chemicals to balance it out. See, I think all along, the reason that your acne, let me just check the time here, make sure I'm okay. Okay. all along your body is trying to protect you, and it knows that these estrogen mimicking chemicals are poisonous and carcinogenic. By the way, that's fully proven. These are carcinogenic chemicals, meaning they cause cancer. So your body will lower your estrogen to protect you as its response. This is why early menopause is associated with exposure to these endocrine disrupting chemicals. And so you're going to want to, well, that's why you see them, right around that time and mid-cycle, your estrogen is going up. And as your estrogen's going up, you start dumping those chemicals. Now, once your progesterone starts going up towards the end of the cycle, well, that stimulates a different kind of acne, which is candida acne, which we have to get to because I'm going far over my allotted time here. So that's food preservative acne. Once again, Skin Defense, the go-to for that type of acne. And then we get to the most common acne out there, which is candida acne. And you see candida acne as early as infant acne. Yes. You know those little bumps that your children get right after birth on their cheeks? That's a sign that mom had candida and passed some of that candida along to the child in her milk and or in utero. And so you see infant acne is candida acne. Now it goes away because the child's young and healthy and responsive and things are changing, or it usually goes away. But I bet that if they followed along, kids with infant acne were more likely to get eczema later because candida causes eczema. And anyway, candida acne, the thing to know about it is it's not candida at the skin level. It's candida in the gut level. And you have to look at my skin map to see that where the small intestine is, where the large intestine is on the face. But if you follow that track, you will almost always see that acne shows up in those zones more than anywhere else. And it's because of the American diet. So what causes candida in the gut to increase? Sugar, dairy. So why does dairy associated with acne? And by the way, you all knew that dairy caused more acne. People would do their own tests. Like whenever they were getting bad acne, they would stop eating dairy because everyone online says that's what you should try. And for a lot of people, it really helps. And that's because dairy is hard to process and it creates a mucus. So the things that create mucus are dairy, fried food, and sour food primarily. And so, and by sour, I mean lemonade, citrus-based drinks, citric acid in general, so supplements that have citric acid. One of the biggest ones is magnesium citrate, but other things like that. Also vitamin C, ascorbic acid, over 250 milligrams a day will cause mucus. So what does mucus do? Mucus just creates a nice little moist covered spot for candida to thrive, and it does. It thrives on mucus. So that's why we have our mucus melter skin clarifier. So we have our product that shrinks candida is called Skin Perfection. We did a double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trial on that. So we proved that it could clear acne just by putting that in your mouth twice a day and nothing else. And over 4 weeks, 60%. And that was without removing mucus. So there's so many people who have mucus associated with it. If you have cystic acne in these areas, either you have a lot of candida, but more likely you almost always have mucus. And how do you know you have mucus? If you have congested skin, if you have blackheads, that is actually mucus coming out of your follicles. Blackheads are mucus coming out of your follicles. So congestion, funny how we say mucus in the sinuses is congested sinus. Well, mucus in the skin is a congested skin. And it's not mucus in the skin as much as it is mucus waste. We wish that our skin just had clear mucus coming out of it as opposed to what look like dirty blackheads. But yeah, it's not dirt. It is that. It is mucus ash coming out. And you'll notice the zones it comes out. It comes out a lot on the nose. Well, that's your esophagus. We know about mucus in our esophagus. We clear our throats. Try drinking lemonade and not clearing your throat. That happens because citric acid wounds the gut and causes a mucus reaction. So, you know, you can learn how to avoid all those things. You know, obviously eating less sugar and doing less mucus promotion during the clearing process of acne with the osmosis protocols is important. Now, if you've had mucus for a long enough time, it actually gets hard. And as a result of it getting hard, you need fiber to help scrape the mucus melting process along. And that's when you use our product called Skin Aid. So very often a typical protocol for acne in the digestive zones, which you'll have to go to the skin map now to see it in your mind's eye, is Skin Aid, Skin Clarifier, and Skin Perfection. And it's all internal. Yes, Rescue is amazing on the surface. Clarify, excellent for helping speed acne and clearing acne on the skin. Both of the, if your skin is more inflamed, you probably want Rescue over Clarify, but both of them are a good start. And yes, if you get a cyst and you want to use and spot treat acne, we have an excellent spot treatment called Accelerate. Which is, you know, involves, again, moving the toxin through faster, and it often can flatten the acne lesion as well in the process. Sometimes it will bring it to a head, which is also helpful, but most of the time you should see a flattening from Accelerate. So all those things are valuable. The thing is you want to be gentle on your acne because it is a scar potential in action, and that's really important. So acne on the forehead, on the temples, on the cheeks, all the way down to about an inch above the jawline, acne all around the mouth, that's also candida. And so you need to shrink your candida. What causes candida? Well, believe it or not, supplements like B12, supplements with ashwagandha, all the mucus-forming supplements I mentioned, supplements with, what's another one that causes B12? I'm blank. Oh, minerals. For some reason, like taking the minerals promotes candida. So any mineral drink or supplement tends to promote candida. And we have a list that you can go to for the supplements and the ingredients that can promote more candida. But progesterone as a medication is the candida promoting one. And then an interesting little aside that I always like to share is that amoxicillin is the only antibiotic that can actually be anti-candida. And that's why, because ear infections are caused by candida in almost every case. And so when kids are put on amoxicillin, that's why their ear infection actually gets better. But we can treat ear infections with our candida treatment. We treat chronic UTIs or candida. We treat it with this protocol. And I can't even go into all the candida conditions here because we won't have time. But candida has 56 strains. It causes a lot of different conditions other than acne. But we're here talking about acne today. So that summarizes it. I should say a couple things. Sometimes the gut line of acne goes into the hairline above the forehead a little bit. And sometimes the pesticide acne in the neck will go into the scalp of the back of the head. So if you have acne in your scalp and the back of your head, that is pesticide acne, not candida acne. What else do I want to say on the subject? The topical rescue, the way it works is it not only helps bring oxygen into the skin, which helps the immune system fight, in this case, detox the toxins related to acne, but it actually does this through oxidation of, so toxins are interesting. The two primary methods your body uses to get rid of them is an oxygenation or an oxidation of the toxin, or a sulfurization, is it sulfation of the acne where you use sulfur. So that's why sulfur is a good tool for acne as well. And let's see, have I forgotten anything? Let's just go over a couple of quick things. We didn't bring up milia. So true milia, remember, candida acne, if it's in the digestive zone, assume it's candida acne if it looks like milia. But if it's closer to the eye in what is on our skin map is the kidney zone, then it's more likely that you are exfoliating and using some kind of an irritant on your skin that is working its way into the follicle and causing milia from the surface. Those are different. Those are the whiteheads that don't scrape off. If the whitehead scrapes off, then you know it's candida toxin. If it doesn't scrape off, it's a deeper cyst and it's milia and you treat it differently. The other thing to know is if you don't have a lot of candida in your gut, then you might only break out on your forehead at the end of your cycle, or I should say, at the end of your cycle, because your progesterone is high. And so the progesterone is stimulating the little bit of candida you have and making it more enough that it actually is releasing enough toxins that it's going up to the skin and purging out. In those cases, sometimes if you use stimulating products throughout the month, like let's say you don't really get acne very often, but you know, you use our Catalyst or our Renew, a really stimulating product, it might trigger your skin to purge those toxins. And yes, it does purge them and keep them out. It's actually the way acids can work on acne, because I guess I should answer that too. Why is it that I can use an acid in you know, a significant minority of the cases, their acne gets better? Well, the reason why their acne gets better usually is, number one, because the acid is wounding the skin. And when you wound the skin, you suppress the immune system. So you suppress the detox. That's how Accutane works. It severely wounds the skin and the liver, for that matter, and it suppresses the detox. Now, that being said, Accutane is also poisonous to Candida. So some people can come off of Accutane and they, even when their skin starts to be able to purge again, their Candida is population has shrunk. So that's certainly a possibility. But let's get back to the exfoliation strategy. So yes, if you push your skin faster, you can accelerate the removal of toxins faster than they accumulate, and you can stay relatively clear unless your candida gets worse. And I have to emphasize really, really significant that the number of people who are developing acne for the first time or significant acne for the first time as a result of the supplements they went on. By the way, probiotics stimulate candida acne in most cases. The only bug that is an anti-candida bug so far that I've found is Bacillus coagulans. So if you find a probiotic that only has that, you don't want to use it for more than a couple of months if you want to use it at all. But I would stay away from any other probiotic as a general rule. They promote candida. I'll just say that. So yes, if you have mild acne, then exfoliating, encouraging turnover can detox your skin fast enough where it can keep you clear. And that's why acids can seem to work. If you do a really harsh chemical peel, you so wound the skin that you can suppress purging for a while and their acne clears for a bit and then it comes back. We know the cycle. Like, acne is a very frustrating condition for professionals and dermatologists because it just keeps coming back and they can't seem to figure it out. And why is this topical antibiotic not working better? And, you know, it's because acne is a toxin purge. And when you realize that, and you will, because once you practice this strategy and you see case after case after case that you find, oh yeah, you were on those supplements. Oh yeah, you did start eating that way. Or geez, my skin was great until I went on vacation and ate really bad. And now I'm in this situation. Yeah. You know, enough sour margaritas and nachos and you could rebuild your mucus back up. And don't worry. The good news is you can keep going back and cleansing that mucus out. So all of those things are true. So that is your summary for acne. I really appreciate you guys joining me today, and we'll see you next time. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ask Dr. Ben. Please leave a review if you can, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts to get access to all of my upcoming episodes. My website is osmosisbeauty.com, and you can find me on Facebook at Osmosis Beauty. And you can also follow me on Instagram at osmosis_beauty. Thanks for listening.